is from the Holy Spirit. If there is something that I could say that the average believer lacks, is the flowing of the Holy Spirit in their life. The Holy Spirit has other names. He is also known as the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Spirit of Adoption, Counselor, the Spirit of Knowledge. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 2. And this angel came to Joseph and said, "Don't worry. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now, an angel came to Joseph and said, "Don't be concerned with what you're concerned about, because what is inside of her was conceived not through sin, but from the Holy Spirit. So you are okay to take her as your wife." Now, I want to tell you something this morning. God would love to conceive inside of you knowledge, power, counsel, anointing. See, you may not be conceived with Jesus, but make no mistake, the Holy Spirit would like to be in your life so much that He could conceive things through your life and birth things through your life. And people can't even slow down enough to let the Lord do that in their life. If we can't get a dose of God in 45 minutes, then we go without Him most of the time. But what we need to understand is that we need Him every day. And He is with us every day. A few weeks ago, as silly and tacky and whatever as people may think, God put it on my heart. He said, "Kelly, get this Jesus doll." Now my microphone just got ripped off my pretty little face. But look here, we're going to get that fixed. Buy this Jesus doll. Put him in the church. Let people take their pictures with him. All of that. He was with us on Thanksgiving cooking and all that. But what people need to understand is that He is with us all the time. All the time. All the time. He is among us all the time. Amen. And so, those are some of the names of the Holy Spirit that we just read. Go back with me now to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to pick up at verse 20. And it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" Now, who all in this congregation is following along in your Bible? Does everyone, after the word Jesus in verse 28, do you see a little tiny letter by there? Most of us do. Or there's some little notation. Okay, I'm not going to assume that everybody knows everything about reading the Bible, but it is my job to teach you so that when you read it, you can read it with a better understanding. And so in my Bible, it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And it has a tiny little letter A. And then when you go down to the bottom, and you will see little explanations for the asterisk or the letter. Now, this may seem silly to go over this, but there are people that don't know this. And you will understand the Word of God better if when you read it for everything that it is. So that little letter, when I go down, it says, Jesus, in the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So the angel said, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Now, I'd like to tell you that once you got saved, that was the only saving you'd ever need. And you know what? That's just not the truth. The Lord has saved you so many times, but most of all, the Lord has saved you from yourself many, many times. The Lord has saved you from the devil and what he had orchestrated for your life many, many times. And most of those times you don't even know about. And so the angel said, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I want to tell you this morning that names are very important. I encourage you to speak the name of Jesus over everything else. Every problem that you have, every sin that you have, it all has a name. Every problem that you face, it has a name. It may be fear. It may be depression. It may be diabetes. It may be cancer. See, every single thing that you will ever face in your life, it has a name. Everything. And I'm going to take this a step further because I am very in the teaching mode today. I'm ready to teach some people, Cecilia. When you are referring to, I don't care what, but if it ain't from God, don't claim it. Don't say, well, me and my diabetes. No. Are you wanting to own that? Don't own it. Well, me and my drug addiction. Stop owning that addiction. That's the first step. Well, me and my awful husband. Stop speaking that, because if you don't quit, he'll be your ex-husband. I know some of us got them. Don't claim things that aren't from the Lord. And the things, as many things as you can give them a name, you can speak the name of Jesus over those things. There are lots of people, they don't even have names to what's going on with them because they will not slow down long enough to even seek God and His counsel about what exactly is going on with them. You ever ask people, well, what is God doing in your life? Well, I have no idea. That's a wrong answer. I encourage you to figure it out. Figure out what God's doing in your life. Go with me now to Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Names are very important. We are in Philippians chapter 2. We are going to look at verses 8 through 11, and this is talking about Jesus. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Everything that you face, it has a name. And every single thing that has a name has to bow down to the highest name. And the highest name is described in the Word of God in these verses. And it says that God the Father, because of His obedience, gave Him and exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every single name. So when you wake up in the morning and you feel the depression wanting to come and to rest on you, what you need more than anything else, see, you can't afford to sit there and wallow in that. Why? Because it's going to manifest and it's going to become more and more and more. What you need is to say, God, in the name of Jesus, I call out this depression in my life right now. And I speak the name of Jesus because, God, you said in your word that at the name of Jesus that every single knee is going to bow down. See, it's about time that people spoke to their problem. It's time that people began to speak to the addiction, to the pornography, to the doubt in their life, to all the things in their life. See, whatever you can name, you can speak Jesus over it. Speak the name above every single name over it. God has really been working with me here lately. How many of you got some things that money could not buy you? You got some things, and it's not even amount of money. It's just them things. Only thing that's going to work them things out is God. Let me tell you something. You better recognize when you got something like that going on, because you have to speak to it. That thing in your life, that thing is going to either get better or it's going to grow. And you better be speaking the name of Jesus over that particular thing that's going on in your life. And God's been telling me, Kelly, you tell that problem that Jesus is enough for it. Jesus is enough for it. Stop worrying about how it's going to get fixed. There's people in here right now, and you're sitting there and you're stressing over how it's going to work out. Stop stressing over that. When you don't know something, it's because it's not time for you to know it yet. There's things, if you knew how God would work them out, you would mess them up. Can I get an amen? There's things, if you knew how God was going to work them out, you'd mess them up. And that's just humanity. God don't need our help. What He needs is our obedience. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. And verse 10 is very important. Verse 10 is where you have the authority that God gave you to begin to speak to your problem. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, did you catch the part where it began to tell the directions of who had to listen to the name? We're going to go over that again. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. What does that mean? Every demon in the very pit of hell and Satan himself, that at the very name of Jesus, every one of those beings has to bow down, every single one of them. When you know that you've got the devil working and moving up in your life, most of the time he's able to work and he's able to move because you open the door and you let him in. But we serve a God that's not worried about that angel. God's more worried about, will that kid just open that door and say, Jesus, come into the mess up. God, come into the mistake. Lord, come into the sin, and God, take it. See, There is so much authority in just the name of Jesus. People, oh, the devil's really been working on me. Well, you know what? You need to work on the devil a little bit. If the devil's not afraid of you, when you wake up in the morning, there's a problem there. I said, when you wake up in the morning, the devil should be shivering because you opened your eyeballs. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. What has to bow down? Everything. 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 How does this relate to us? People need the God that is inside of you. People need you to walk in obedience to the Word of God and the anointing and the call that God has put on your life. There are people and they are depending on the Jesus inside of you. You're all preaching your own message. You're all preaching it. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to pick up at verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now there's been times in my life, there's times in everybody that's ever breathed and been on this earth, there are times where you say, does God really save us from our sins? Yes, he does. There are times where you wonder, because you've done something so horrific, you wonder, can God really forgive that? Yes, he does. God really saves. God really forgives. God really takes your sin away from you as far as the east is from the west. He removes them. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, I have another little letter, and when I look down, it instructs me to go to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. How do you get to know the Word of God? You get to understand it. When you come and you're reading in your Bible and you see one of those little letters, you need to train yourself to look down and to do where it's directing you. So go with me now to Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 14. See, the birth of Jesus was prophesied far before it ever happened. Far before it ever happened. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14, therefore, the Lord himself, and I'm going to stop right there. And I love when we come to verses in the Bible where it says God himself or the Lord himself. Because see, every single word in the Bible is in there for a reason. And there are people and they don't believe that God's still doing things. And God pulls it. He pulls it out of the Word, and he said, I did that my very self. And it says here, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This was the prophecy. that he gave Isaiah, the Lord will give you a sign, the Lord himself. All the folks. You know, if God would just give me a sign, I would live for him. No, you wouldn't. Nope. Well, if I'm driving down the road and I see three white doves and they're all just sitting there waiting for my car to pass by, that'll be my sign that I need to start doing this. Nope. God, give me a sign if you really want me to give that homeless person that $20. Nope. Stop asking God to give you signs. Start asking him to give you the spirit of obedience. Because the word said that he already gave you a sign. He already did it, and people have ignored it. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we see here in this scripture that Emmanuel also means God with us. In Matthew, we read where the name of Jesus, one of the meanings is the Lord saves. How do you need to go into this Christmas season? You need to go into it knowing those two things. The Lord saves. And that he's with you. The Lord saves. And that he's with you. Don't be somebody that always has to have a sign that you can see so you'll know he's there. Let me tell you something. The fact that you woke up and you're breathing, he's there. He's there with you. People are relying and needing the Jesus that is inside of you. Will you give it? Freely you have received. Now freely give. A couple weeks ago, we had a community Thanksgiving service, and I love the community. I love Logan County, and I'm going to just keep it real. Is it okay if I just keep it real? Okay. I do better when I can just keep some things real. You would probably never know it, but I could probably speak in front of a million people and not feel one ounce of anxiety or fear over that. Jimmy said I ought to run for president. Oh. See? I mean, I got Jimmy's vote. And so we go to this service. And Pastor Regina, she's the pastor of the Methodist Church, and she said, one of the things that she said in her message was she said, you know, every day till Christmas, you need to give three things that you're thankful for. And that really hit me. And so I told Frank, because Frank is like so many different people to me all in one, but he's like my secretary. He keeps up with me. He makes sure I eat in the morning so I'm not grouchy. There's just a lot of things that this man does. And so I leaned over and I said, Frank, make sure I do that every day until Christmas. Before I go to bed, tell me to tell you what I'm thankful for. Three things. Because, see, when you listen to a message, you should never just go out and do nothing about it. If you're not living out the sermons, what the heck are you in church for? I mean, really, it's just for nothing at that point. And so we get there, you know, and I do my little prayer and all that thing. And you know what? It was just great to be with the community. It really was. And I was dreading it. I'm glad I said I was going to keep it real. I was just dreading it. I never know how anybody's going to take a hot-blooded, blonde-headed, young Italian female pastor in a Catholic church. I never know. Well, they took it great. And I thought I was done. I was like, oh, great. They're like, well, we got some food after the service. And I thought, oh, I ain't going to that. I don't like them kind of shindigs. I mean, I totally get y'all that leave when we have the meals and y'all leave. I get it, because really, sometimes I'm wanting to leave too, because that means you actually have to talk to people, you know, and you don't get to hide behind your phone and things. And sometimes it's hard for me to just have one-on-one conversations. Now, notice I said it's hard for me, but let me tell you something, Angel. I make myself do it every day. Amen. Why? Because I am not going to be dictated by any fear or anxiety or social awkwardness that I may have. And I encourage everybody else to adopt that same type of behavior, because the day that you start letting whatever your little quirk is dictate what you're going to do, you're going to have a problem in your life. Well, I was preached out. I was prayed out. I was ready to go. Sydney, I thought I had done my everything. Everything, check, check, and check. I was with the community, check. I prayed, check. Everything is over. Praise the Lord. I get to go home, get my elastic pants, and eat me some chips. And Frank goes, who very rarely objects really anything, and he goes, oh, we're going to go to that eating after the service. No, we're not. I don't want to go to that, Frank. And I was madder than a hornet. I went walking down that sidewalk, that St. Joseph, and I went to their hall, and I was like, he's making me go to this. I mean, I don't really want to go. And the whole time I'm asking God, Lord, why am I here? I'm ready to go home. I'm just sitting there. And several people in the community came up to me. Thank you for what y'all do. Thank you. You're feeding my grandma. You're feeding my grandpa. You're feeding my elderly dad. You're doing this. And I'm like, you know, I always feel funny when people thank me for that, because really, I'm just doing what God told me to do. You know, I don't want God's credit for that. I don't want his glory for that. Like, thank God, you know. So I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden, this lady just sits right down by me. And she has tears in her eyes. And I'm going, in my brain, I'm going, well, great. Frank has talked me into going to this. Now I'm going to have a counseling session right here at this dinner for 30 minutes. And I'm ready to go home. And she sits down, and she says, Pastor Kelly, I just need to introduce myself to you. And she told me her name. And she said, I have wanted to do this for 2 years, and I have not been able to do it. And I was thinking, what have you wanted to do for 2 years that involves me? And she said, 2 years ago, you found my father on a Monday night dead. And she said, What you did not know was that we knew that he was going to die very soon. And she said, the one thing that I told God that I could not do was walk up and find my father dead. She said, so I began to pray. I said, well, what did you pray for? She said, I asked God if he would let you be the one that found him. We both started crying together. She said, I have wanted to thank you for 2 years, and I couldn't do it. She said, when we heard that he was going to die, I just went to praying because Monday night was my night, was my day that I had to go check on Dad. She said, and I just told God, God, I can't do that. I can't walk up and find him dead. She said, so I just prayed. And she said, I just want to thank you for being that person there. And I said, but let me tell you my side. I said, when we drove up, we saw your sweet daddy right there. And I said, I got my husband over there, and I said, we realized that he had gone. I said, now I bent over. I said, and I knelt down, and I said, now I put my hand on your daddy's back. He was face down on the ground. I said, I put my hand on his back. I said, the moment I did, I felt a peace. I said, and peace just began to wash over. I said, and I whispered to God, God, thank you for this one. He's up there with you now. Now, I'm going to tell you something. On your bad days, God needs your obedience. On your good days, God needs your obedience. Every day, the Lord needs you to know that he's with you. He's with you through the thick, through the thin, through the battle, through the divorce, through the addiction, through the health crisis, through the family trouble, through the financial trouble. God is with you every step that you're going to go, every breath that you're going to take. How much does he love you? How much does God love his children? Enough to honor a daughter's prayer. Now we're going to shift into communion. I'm going to ask you right now, if you can get on your knees and make an altar where you're at, I'm going to ask you to do that and begin to examine your life. What are you looking for? Anything that's been there between you and God. The Word of God says, examine yourself. If there's sin in your life, begin to confess it. Get it out. Don't let there be anything there between you and God.